going to ask you to let your minds wander and to imagine with me this morning. Imagine yourself a 30-year-old warrior, a soldier. Imagine, in most of our cases, remember what it felt like to be in a 30-year-old body. Feel the agility and the muscles, the alignment of everything working exactly as it should, exactly as the Creator made it, before anything else begins to take its toll. Feel the strength of a back that has never gone out. Feel your knees strong and steady and your own. Imagine the amount of sheer energy that pulses through your body every morning as you wake up and work out with your fellow soldiers, fellows all in line with the same mission. In your charge is the care of a young nation of ancient people. You are the upstart army in a land of giants, and everywhere you turn, threat exists. Staying fit and agile and sharp isn't an option here, it's a necessity. And you are a soldier in charge of this mighty army. Imagine yourself as this soldier, this boy leader named David. And imagine how hard your head must be. With all of your strength and your success, with your youth and your vigor, imagine how close foolhardy and courageous must be an attribution. Think of how certain you were of things you knew when you were 30. And think of what the battlefield might have solidified in your thinking. Fixed in your ken and grounded in your soul. Are you prone to listening? What would it take to get you to change your mind or alter your course? Now take a moment and imagine yourself a different sort of 30-year-old, a bookish lad, well-trained in rhetoric and gifted beyond compare in logic. Wise, well beyond your years. Imagine that you've been out on a different sort of journey, a different one than what a warrior might make. Imagine it more of a campaign tour, getting to know the people, hearing their stories and doing what you can to help, making promises that there is still a better way. And just like the soldier, imagine that you too are not out here alone, but are surrounded by a coterie of fellow dreamers, people called to envision a better world and to not rest until it comes into reality. You are a visionary. Your mind is functioning at its peak. You don't forget anything. You don't need to take notes or write anything down or keep a list. You have an uncommon grasp of human experience, everything. Everything from emotions and sentiments to knowledge, and the bigger questions of who you are, of who we are, of where we come from, and why we're here. Now go deeper and add another layer to this imagination. As surprising as it may be to some around you, you don't come from a good family or from the right side of the town wall. Imagine you're the first person in your family to have had access to the kind of schooling you've had. Imagine that genetics do what genetics do when a child is born and an entirely new being emerges from what had been before. You're not wealthy. Your parents are day laborers, skilled and competent people, mind you, but without the protections of either corporate or national insurance policies. Your dad's a carpenter. Your mom tends the home and makes the wine and cares for you and your brothers and sisters. It was a really happy home, but you always felt different. Call it wanderlust or drive or ambition or call. Imagine yourself this 30-year-old visionary we call Jesus from a know-nothing little town called Nazareth who had gone out to see the world. and had come home from your first year abroad with your friends in tow. Mom, Dad, everyone, these are my friends, and we have so much to tell you. Your earnestness brims out of you. You've come home to share everything you know, everything you've learned, and to see what your family will think, to make them proud. Hometown kid done good. Do people listen? What do people think of you now? Have you ever heard these words, "Who do you think you are?" Has someone said them to you? Or are they words that your own doubt says to you? Coming home, what authority do you have over anything? Why am I going to listen to you? There are at least two important skills that must be held in tension as we learn to listen. Really listen. Really, really listening to one another. The first is an identification with the other, something in you that registers that something in me is both similar and of interest to something in you, that there's something familiar, something shared, something of a connection that can be fostered. We share a humanity. To make the boy soldier who would be king listen, it took all the tribes of Israel to go out and to talk to him, which is to say 12 tribes, which is to say a literal army went out to talk to David. "Look," they say, "we are your bone and your flesh. Listen to us. You know us. Something in you knows us." The people who want to be heard appeal to their audience's empathy and their similarity, and David listens. Polite and well-mannered, respectful and open. Most of us get this listening skill right most of the time. Now, the flip side of listening skills is what the actress Anna Deavere Smith calls the broad jump to the other. And this is the idea that the other person is wholly other than ourselves, that each of us have a set of experiences and attributes, limitations, proclivities, and blessings that are particular to each of us. They're unique. Each of us is unique. When thinking about this listening skill, it's the idea that I recognize that something in you is so entirely different from anything in me that no amount of identification or similarity or straining will ever make me know or understand who you are or what you're saying if I don't first acknowledge our difference. Acknowledging that we are different, each created different and unique in the apple of God's eye. Then from that place of difference, that place from where each of us are encouraged to be the own authority on our own lives, then we can begin to listen to each other's stories with a sense of reverie. And in Krista Tippett's description, awe. For many of us who prize civility, this is the harder task of listening because we are so quick to say, yeah, I understand, or I know exactly how you feel. We think we're being empathetic. We think we're listening. But when truly listening, very few things could be farther from the truth. When holding in tension the contradictory ideas that we are similar enough to be in common and different enough to be unique, this is difficult at the best of times and downright impossible in times of discord. When party lines get drawn or fundamentalisms get brought out, when walls go up, it's hard to listen to our difference while remembering our shared humanity. It's hard, too, to listen to our shared humanity while allowing for difference. Group cohesion and unity requires something of a sublimation of our listening skills, which is to say some sort of silencing of the voice that we alone can hear, a voice that calls to each of us individually, a voice from God to us. Sigmund Freud writes of this in his monograph, Civilization and Its Discontents, And he speaks of how difficult it is to be both civil and content when there's so much aggression and anger at what's wrong all around us that we dare not speak. When civility is prized over truth, we miss out on opportunities to listen, to learn, and to grow. Even more of a tragedy is that we miss out on opportunities to get to know each other. Of course, on the other hand, when truth is prized more than civility, revolutions occur. It's a delicate balance, one that leaders like David and Jesus have taught us the way. 12 tribes of Israel come out to appeal to David to help him listen, and he does. The first attribute of listening, of empathy, of connection, proves successful. And Jesus returns to his hometown with the 12 disciples, and though he speaks his truth, group cohesion and a firmness not only of "we know who we are, Jesus, but we know who you are too," impairs their ability to listen. With authority, Jesus returns to Nazareth, and even with the wisdom from his travels and his study and his divinity, Jesus' teachings are ignored. And they're not just politely ignored, but those with the power of being in the norm, the people in possession of the power and the privilege in this hometown, they take offense. Where did this man get all this knowledge? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? You can hear the jealousy in their questions. What deeds of power are being done by his hands? And you can hear the fear of those who cling to power for power's sake, trembling that their rule is a sham. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? And you hear in this the power of group identity and cohesion that comes crashing down. Who do you think you are? How dare you? How dare you challenge us? How dare you speak your truth in our town? So tentative about their own identity are they that they fail to listen to who Jesus really is. The harder part of listening is understanding that there is a chasm between you and me that can only be bridged if we can learn to listen to one another's difference. Now, in a time when the speed and spread and reach of information is going through an innovation unparalleled since the invention of the printing press, it can be hard to know what to listen to these days. Everyone has a voice, and everyone's voice deserves to be heard. This is the part of listening that our empathy tells us to acknowledge, that civility demands we heed. And this is also the sort of comment that can get us into trouble when we assume to know too much. Like when a white actress can blithely erase the diversity and uniqueness of people of color's stories, joking that they're just like us, there, now you're caught up. Or when truth that we don't like can be declared fake. Or when lies are attempted to be hammered into fact by repetition and volume, as if history has not seen this before. Now, this need to consume one another's identity in order to understand is what happens when empathy and a sense of oneself is unchecked by all in what the other may be. It is what happens when my need to know overtakes my interest in asking. These sorts of comments grounded in sameness disavow individuality and the opportunity for true diversity. There would hold the locals who knew Jesus as the carpenter's boy back from knowing Jesus as God among them. They don't listen to him. And you don't need me to tell you what a mistake that was for them and for many. If, however, we allow for a sense of curiosity to guide our listening, what more might we hear? If we begin our listening each day, in each conversation, from the position of, I know who I am, and I'm interested in learning, in listening to who you are, what more might we come to know? The shared experience of being bone of one bone and flesh of one flesh is surely important. It helps us connect. So too is the authenticity that comes not from the ego's need to know all, but from the wiser path of being interested in all, of listening as broadly as possible, listening to the call of God that makes each of us unique, listening to the questions of one another, listening too to the laments and the longings and the pains and the joys, the convictions and the knowledge too. Listening is a balancing act. Listening, like faith, is a relationship between what I don't know, what I can know, and what I will never know. We learn these skills first in communities where we can easily identify. We apply them best when we then hone them working with communities that are far afield from what we know, when we travel, when we ask questions, when we are bold enough to speak and to hear truth without fear. When we are stronger in our own listening skills, we can heal the world. King David ruled for 40 years, and in all that time he became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. Listening first to his community, to those 12 tribes, he then heard the call of God that said, you shall do this for me. What call from God can this community help you listen for today? Jesus the Christ brought a message of authority and of wisdom that those in power did not want to hear. This did not stop him from speaking it, nor did it stop the faithful from hearing it. If anyone will not listen, he tells the disciples, shake off the dust from your feet and be on your way. You have other paths ahead of you. Listening to what you alone can know about you, what truth do you need others to hear, or else you might be on your way? With Christ as our guide, are you ready to speak? With God as your ever-present help, how deeply are you ready to listen? For the truths that will save this world are not shallow or weak, but are deep and mighty. They come with authority to banish all that threatens to silence. They come with a force of goodness and of light, of mercy and of justice, of compassion and of love. On summer days, when the winds quiet down and the traffic comes to a low point, will you listen?